Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and in front of me is my new friend, Dr. Patricia Green. She's dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College, and she also works with a lot of other folks, including the Kauffman Center, which is a name that you heard me talk about before. And we're going to have a good discussion about entrepreneurs, especially women. Dr. Green, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about Babson College. My audience has heard me talk about them, as I said earlier, when I talked about the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor that Babson works with the Kauffman Center for Entrepreneurial Excellence. And they've heard me mention that before, but they may not know very much about it.
Babson is a beautiful college. It's located in Wellesley, Massachusetts. It's focused on entrepreneurship. And, in fact, U.S. News & World Report ranks at the top program in entrepreneurship, both the undergraduate and the graduate level.
Well, I'm glad to know that, and I'm glad that you're here, because my audience knows that one of the things that we try to do on our show is to introduce folks who are doing what you're doing around the country, growing entrepreneurs.
You can say around the world.
Well, yeah, no, you're right, because I know that your focus is worldwide. In fact, you're going to talk to us about some things, like about some global issues in just a little bit. But I do try to get some academics on the show who are focusing on growing entrepreneurs at the undergraduate level, also with the graduate level. We've done a number of interviews with folks from Ohio State and from Vanderbilt and other locations. So it's good to have someone here represented from Babson, and I'm glad to hear you talking about this number one program. It's good to know that you're so proud of your program.
We are proud of it. We think we have a really good way that we figured out to do this.
What is that way?
It's integrated. It's throughout everything we do, whether it's the curriculum, the co-curricular activities, the extracurricular activities. It's just the way we look at the world. And our freshmen know that the minute they walk on campus. The first year they start a business in a team, every single student on campus starts a business. But one of the unique things we do, too, is we build social entrepreneurship right into it. All those teams have to identify a philanthropy of their choice to give their time. And at the end of the year, when they cash out their business, they give their treasure as well.
I see. Well, and see, that's the thing that I think what you just said is what's different about Babson than maybe other schools is that this curriculum is as you say, is integrated. And maybe other schools, it's not so much integrated. It's there, and they can take it if they want to, but it's not as pervasive throughout the institution, maybe.
I think it's a very fair statement. A lot of schools are moving in that direction, mm-hmm. recognizing that entrepreneurship can't be bounded, but we've been doing that for quite some time, and it's proving to be very successful for our students.
As I said in the previous hour to Zoltan and David, who were here, around 1999, I made this statement: the 20th century is the century of the major corporation. The 21st century will be the century of the entrepreneur. And every day that goes by, something happens that makes me believe that more and more. I know that it is, and it's going to continue to be the century of the entrepreneur. And one of the reasons is not because necessarily that there are more owners, but more employees are becoming entrepreneurial. And that's, I think, what your program is one of the ways you justify being so entrepreneurial in everything that you do, is that whether you're going to be an owner or you're going to work for somebody else, you need to be thinking about entrepreneurship, don't they?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good way to put it. We talk about entrepreneurial management, too, so that it's the way you look at the world,
right.
Whether you're going to even work for a non-for-profit or maybe even for a government.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned not-for-profits. I've been working for a long time with not-for-profits that are coming to me, and they're saying, we got to get a piece of this entrepreneurial thing. We realize, and one of the reasons is, as you know, more and more not-for-profits don't have that sugar daddy out there, that connection to the big bucks. A lot of state governments are saying, we can't keep funding you at this level. You know, some of those state not-for-profits or whatever, and they're realizing that they've got to become a little more self-determined and self-funded, don't they?
It's absolutely the case. You know, but it's my bias too. Is everything I look at is opportunities and resources.
She's our kind of lady, folks. Patty, talk to us a little bit about what you're going to be doing today in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were really excited to be a part of this conference, looking at entrepreneurship in the future. I'm part of a group called the Diana Project, and there's five of us. It's Nancy Carter from St. Thomas University, Betsy Gatewood from Indiana University, who's also going to be at the conference today, Candy Brush from Boston University, and Myra Hart from Harvard University. The five of us have been working on issues in women's entrepreneurship for just over 5 years, and we're releasing one report today that is on women in the venture capital industry, saying that it's both a supply and a demand side. So we need to understand the supply side of resources for entrepreneurship as well. So our report's called Gatekeepers of Venture Growth, a Diana Project report on the role and participation of women in the venture capital industry.
My audience knows that I spend quite a bit of time in any given month talking about women's issues. I've done, for years, I've done about an interview a month with the current Associate Administrator of the SBA for Women's Business Ownership, Sherry Henry. You may know Sherry, and now Wilma Goldstein, who's there at the SBA now. And we talk about that quite a bit. And so I'd like to appreciate you basically releasing the information, because this is information that you're going to give going to be talking about later today. That we're going to talk about first on our show. Can you tell us a little bit about what you learned?
Sure, we really did. I mean, everybody can look at the venture capital industry and know that it's highly male-dominated, but we really didn't have any numbers to know how dominated and what does that mean.
Now, dominated from the standpoint of who makes the decision or who gets the money?
That's the exactly right point.
The answer is yes, but both.
It is on both sides, but for this study, it's who makes the decisions, because it's not enough just to be in the industry. It has to be the decision-makers as well. So what we did is we took an industry guide, Pratt's, and we actually mapped out by gender the people in the industry, both in 1995 and 2000. So we could see not only what does it look like, but how is it changing. And I think one of our most interesting findings is that in 1995, 10% of the managers in venture capital were women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think of 95 to 2000 in the venture capital industry, those were booming years.
Right, exactly.
I mean, the industry just grew.
Never had another five-year period like that before or since.
It was incredible. However, the proportion of women actually went down in the venture capital industry.
In terms of working in the industry?
The decision makers. Only 1%, but still, it went down from 10 to 9% at the time.
We didn't like the number or the trend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we looked at, were they staying in the industry? Because the idea is that in your industry, you're gaining experience.
Mm-hmm.
Women were leaving at a more rapid rate than men as well.
When we come back after these messages, I suspect that you know why. And we're going to get you to tell us why, if you don't know why you think that's happening. We'll do that right after these messages. Dr. Patty Green, ladies and gentlemen, she's the dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College in Wellesley, Massachusetts. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com, and that's entrepreneurial nirvana, folks. If you check that out, I think you'll find some things that you'll enjoy and benefit from there, the archives, the articles. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots of things you can do there at jbsba.com. And let's get back to our visit with Dr. Patricia Green. Patty is the dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College in Wellesley, Massachusetts. They've got a wonderful entrepreneurship program there. They eat, breathe, and sleep entrepreneurship, and that makes them my friends, and it probably does yours too. Patty, you made a statement as we went to the break earlier that in the venture capital industry, women became less represented as the century came to an end than they had been.
It's true.
And you may not know why that happened, but why do you think that happened?
You know, I'm a data person, Jim, and I don't have data on this, but one of the things that we've seen at a couple of places that I think is interesting is women leaving the venture capital firms to take one of the new businesses and work with lead one of the new businesses.
Oh.
So I think maybe there's
So maybe that means that the women were more likely to be entrepreneurs than the guys were.
Well, I didn't
say
they were more likely to do it. I just
Look,
said that's one of the ways to go.
This is a talk show. We can do this. We don't have to get it right. We just have to get it close.
That might be safe for you, Jim. That's not so safe for me.
What about now? We're three plus years into the new century.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any data, any stats on on what's happened since then? Any anecdotal information?
Oh, we're watching. I think that the Kauffman Fellows Program with the Venture Cap Institute for Venture Education is collecting their new class right now, and I know that in the candidates there's a lot of very excellent qualified women. So I think it's something that we just keep watching and observing and studying as the time goes on.
Well, it's interesting, see, because while you reported the data that showed that women were leaving venture capitalists, their presence was diminishing. During that same time, the presence of women in the marketplace for their own account was increasing, wasn't it?
It's true.
Women were growing, one of the fastest growing sectors of business ownership in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So that's an interesting difference there.
Well, it is. And remember, it's not that there are fewer women in the venture capital industry. Mm-hmm. It's just as a proportion of
it's
smaller.
So it's percentage, not numbers.
Right.
Anything else on the report that you want to talk about before we move over to what you're going to talk about today?
No, other than that, people can get it off the EntreWorld website if they'd like to take a closer
Please
look
give us
at
that
it.
Website.
www.entreworld.org.
ENTRE.
Yes.
World.
Yes.
.org.
Yes, that's a
okay.
Kauffman website.
Oh yeah, and what else will we find at that website? Can you give us another idea?
Actually, the original Diana report is there. That's the one where we started looking at why don't women get venture capital?
Right.
And actually, that's what led us to this report. Was that one of the things we found were that women aren't in the networks. They don't know any venture capitalists. They don't know how to talk to
them.
Are
they not asking for it? You think it's because possibly they're not asking for it?
Certainly that's part of it.
Yeah, it's not just that they're getting turned down. They're not even going knocking on the door.
That's part of it, but they don't know what doors to knock on. And when they're knocking, they're not being heard.
Why do you think that is? What, do you have any data to support that?
Yeah, we do, actually, and it has to do with networks, is that men typically have men in their network. Women are a little more varied, but they don't know any venture capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
And any venture capitalists you talk to will almost always say they only fund deals from people they know or that come through other people they know.
Well, see, an interesting thing about this is that women have made great strides in getting capital from banks compared to the way they were, what happened 10, 15 years ago.
A regulated industry.
Many industries, I've had many women on the show, entrepreneurs, who I've made sure that they told us about their capitalization story.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I went to the bank, and he said, bring your husband back with his financial statement. How many times have I heard that story? But it's gotten better since then.
It's gotten much better.
What you're saying is that kind of trend has not been duplicated in the venture capital industry.
And we've never found that it's an intentional type of thing. It really is. They're just not talking to each other. They don't know each other, so they don't talk to each other.
Yeah. What are you going to talk about today? You're going to work on demographics, aren't you? You're going to be on that panel?
I am.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm going to talk about the report, basically.
Right.
So those kinds of demographics. But I'm going to focus on growth. You know, I'm going to focus on the idea that, yes, there are lots more women-owned businesses, but it's the growth rate. For instance, between 97 and 2000, the women-led firms that have more than 100 employees increased by 44%.
Wow.
The women-owned businesses that have more than $1 million in sale increased by 32%. And that's 1.5 times the general rate of growth in that area.
Right.
So that's really where we got interested.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It's the growth piece that we're really interested in. It's one thing to start a business. You know, you can hang a shingle out. It's not that hard to start it.
Mm-hmm.
But to grow it into something where you're really creating sustainable value.
Right.
That's saying something else.
Absolutely. One of the things, we've got about a minute left, Patty, before I have to go with you. And the thing that I've been focusing on for a while is small business as a demographic.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people don't focus on that. They don't think about, they think of, white males, 25 to 35 or whatever. They think of that kind of demographic. Or they think of, the Gen Xers and the Gen Ys and the baby boomers. I see small business as a demographic itself. Have you ever thought about it? Like, have you ever done any studies on that? In other words, I think that small businesses behave as a demographic when they're in their small business role.
I think it's a really interesting question. I think there's a lot of room to learn more from small businesses. I'm actually curious about how small businesses vote.
Yeah,
exactly. How they spend their time and how they spend their money, all those types of things.
Well, this is a book that I'm working on.
Well,
that I'm hoping to work on. Maybe you can help me with it. I'm going to need some research that maybe you can provide me with. Dr. Patricia Green with the Babson College, thank you very much for being here. Website?
www.babson.edu.
Tell us about your book.
Clearing the Hurdles, Women Building High-Growth Businesses, comes out from Prentice Hall Financial Times in late May.
You're going to be back and launch it on my show.
I'd be delighted.
29 after. I'll be right back with Bob Lighton. I'm Jim Blassingame. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Oh, oh, I'm glad.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.